Welcome in, everyone, to the Flex Appeal Dynasty Fantasy Football Show. It's the flexiest fantasy football show out there. I am Ethan Paul, joined by my co-host, Jacob Tyler. We are here to break down Dynasty Fantasy Football. Jacob, it's the off-season. How was your Mardi Gras, my man?
I might be the only person in the New Orleans area that did not celebrate Mardi Gras or did not leave the city for Mardi Gras. I pretty much did nothing but fantasy-related research.
Well, that's good for our podcast, not so good for your social life. Well, look, this is episode one. This is ground floor for people who are not familiar with Dynasty Fantasy Football. You know, let's start off with the basics. What is it? What's the difference between this and a redraft league?
The difference between a Dynasty Football League and a redraft league is you acquire players in a standard startup and you keep these players throughout long periods of time.
All right. So how would you set this up? I mean, what's the good number to have? 8, 10, 12, 14? Does it make a difference? Can you set it up like a normal redraft league? Or do you have to have certain rules in place, you know, stuff like that? Just for the guy who's never had exposure to this.
Ideally, 12 to 14. But I think the simple truth to the matter or to the question is enough dedicated people to where you're going to have an active offseason to where you're not just scrambling with five or six active guys and a boatload of guys that are just there to play in the regular season.
Right, right. And I think the key is, too, to mention to people, you can hold on to these players, you know, forever if you want to until they retire. You can draft them as a rookie and hold them for 15 years if he plays that long. Or you can cut them after four, you know. And there's different, you know, I think we have 25 men on our rosters. You know, is that kind of a good number? I see some communities in the fantasy community doing 30, you know. What's the sweet spot on your mind?
I mean, ultimately, it depends. 25 is a sweet number. I mean, you could probably, I like the sweet spot of a 350-player pool. And that's about what 25 players is on a 14-man roster. But ultimately, it depends on basically how active you want to be with it. But to answer your question, 25 and more is probably your sweet number.
Right, right. And then there's really no limit. It's created however you want. Now, you know, if you're using certain websites like Yahoo, you know, they do put a cap on the roster size at 30. So if
I think
you wanted to have
number,
an unlimited, if you wanted to have an unlimited roster size, you know, there's some websites out there that you may have to pay for them, but they support the Dynasty format. You know, I think we had talked about MFL, and you can help me out here.
My fantasy league that is a pay site. I think it's if you have 12 to 14 members, it comes out to about $5 per manager. Flea Flicker has a lot of customization, not as much as my fantasy league. It is free. I think it does have an iOS app now. I'm not certain about a Google Play app, but it's very flexible, and we use it in our inaugural season. Unfortunately, it was not on the co-hosting site that most of our guys have redraft leagues, so we went back to Yahoo.
All right, and then I think the most important part is communication is key. I mean, it's 2018. We have a Facebook page set up for our 14 team members. If you're using a site like Yahoo or ESPN and they don't support it year-round, you got to have a way to communicate with guys, you know, to keep the trades going and all that jazz, right?
We definitely, especially trades, because you can't trade draft picks on these Yahoos, ESPNs, or NFL.com websites. You're going to need some sort of a spreadsheet that everybody can see. I would not keep this offline. I would put it on the page, post it on your page, share it frequently, update it as soon as possible, because these things can get out of hand very fast, and then you're wondering, okay, how did this guy get this pick, etc.
Right. Well, and then there's no real off season, you know, for a dynasty fantasy league. There's no the season never ends if you're playing dynasty. You know, right now we're looking at Senior Bowl. A couple weeks we'll be looking at Combine. You know, let's get into a couple of news and notes. Let's start with the most recent news cycle, the coaching changes. You want to jump right into this? How it might affect fantasy players?
Yeah, let's go ahead and go
with
that.
Obviously, I think the biggest hire for fantasy football purposes. The Chicago Bears, they finally got rid of John Fox, who was just a dead man walking for the last two seasons, it seems. They bring in Matt Nagy. He was the former Kansas City offensive coordinator. And you saw it last year when he called the plays when he took over the play calling at the back half of the season. He got Kareem Hunt more involved. You know, this has got to be good news for Jordan Howard. And you would think that if he turned Alex Smith into, a top what, 10 top eight quarterback this year in fantasy? I have to pull up the numbers. You think he could do wonders with Trubisky, right?
Absolutely. I would say most, the higher percentage of your teams that won fantasy championships last year had your Todd Gurley's, had your Le'Veon Bell's. I'd say a high number of them also had Alex Smith. Because
I'd agree.
That's a guy that can catapult you.
You got added value. So. You probably went undrafted in your leagues, you know?
Now, I would temper your expectations. I don't think he's going to see a Jared Goff improvement, but I definitely think he can be a bye week quarterback, maybe top 16 quarterback on the NFL season, fantasy wise.
Right. Well, and Trubisky, right?
Trubisky is who I'm talking about, right? Well,
and in Dynasty, you don't need him to be Jared Goff this year. You just need him to be the 2017 Jared Goff in the future. You know what I mean? You just need
to show
develop.
Signs. Yeah. Signs right. of hope, just to make sure you to reassure you that you invested properly. Probably spend a second exactly. rounder on him, or in a startup, you're probably going to look at him by what? 7th, 8th round?
I mean, it depends, you know, everything varies on how your league values certain positions, obviously, you know. If your league doesn't think highly of quarterbacks, then he may go a little later than that, but yeah, I mean, I'd put him right there in the middle rounds. I think it's important to mention, too, you know, in Kansas City, they never really had the only thing that scares me about the Nagy hire in Kansas City, they never really had wide receivers. You know, Tyreek Hill was the only guy you could really rely on. Jeremy Maclin, you know, whenever he was there. The only thing that worries me, the Bears are already light at wide receiver for fantasy football purposes. You know, it makes me wonder if they're going to funnel everything to young guys like Shaheen at tight end and use Jordan Howard out of the backfield in a Kareem Hunt role. You know, and kind of dismiss the wide receivers like he did in Kansas City. Does that make sense?
Resurrection of Kevin White, man.
Yeah,
it's time.
Right.
It's about time.
What is this, 2015?
I think he's played three games.
Yeah, what is this, 20?
Three games since he's started.
Yeah, I feel like we've said this every offseason. Real quick numbers on Nagy. I won't beat the drum on it. I mean, I don't think he's this year's Sean McVay with the Rams, but you got to look at the numbers. The Chiefs finished 13th in points scored in 2016. They jumped all the way to 6th in that category in 2017. And then they saw a large improvement in yards gained, jumping from 27th to 20th between 15 and 16, and then 20th to 5th from 16 to 17. So I know that's a lot. Rewind the podcast, and you can rehear those numbers. And then one more quick note we had on him. Who's the offensive coordinator there for Nagy that he's bringing in? Do you have it?
No, I do not have that, actually. Former Oregon head coach Mark Helfrich will be Nagy's offensive coordinator.
Yep. So it can't hurt, you know.
There you go.
Whenever you get these young quarterbacks coming out of spread systems, you know, you give them a spread OC, you hopefully it can, you know, it could be better than worse. And by the way, we mentioned Rewind this podcast. If you're new to this podcast, give us some likes or whatever the heck on Apple, 5-star ratings. And then you can follow us. We have a Twitter handle as well, @FlexAppealShow. So feel free to follow us on Twitter for updates on episodes that are going to be released, and then give us a like. It's a quick plug for ourselves. Let's get to the next coaching thing. The next name we have written down here, John Gruden. I don't know if he's going to do wonders for the fantasy football players for the Raiders, but you got to like the attitude that John Gruden brings in there, especially when it comes to some of the veteran players with Oakland, right?
Yeah, got to love it. Got to love it. I think Derek Carr has a bounce back season after a very not so satisfying year after his potentially had an MVP year before he got hurt at the end of the 2016 season.
I agree. Well, and he had that back injury last year, so you'd hope a bounce back for Carr. But more importantly, I think you're hoping for a bounce back with Amari Cooper. I mean, the guy was on an upward trajectory after his first couple years in the league. And last year, I think he only finished with like 48 catches or something like that. That's, you know, that's not what you expect out of a wide receiver one, especially in a dynasty when he's supposed to be one of your pillars, you know, one of your foundation pieces.
It seems like he got 12 of those 48 on that Thursday night game against Kansas City.
Yeah, I remember that. He scored like 50 points in PPR.
Yes, he did.
Next couple of names here, and these are the names that of head coaches that excite us for offensive fantasy football purposes. There's more than this, but let's get to them. Pat Shurmur, Vikings offensive coordinator, moving over to the Giants. You know, it sounds like a vanilla hire, but look what that dude did with, you know, three quarterbacks in Minnesota that you didn't know what the heck to expect from them. You know, and they turned Adam Thielen into a top 10 wide receiver last year.
Odell Beckham, Adam Thielen, Evan Ingram. I think they're going to have some solid pass catchers. We have to see and wait and see what they're going to do at running back. Maybe Saquon Barkley heads over there. If not to the Browns, I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and I think, too, the important thing to mention here is Shurmur, you know, if he turned Case Keenum into a freaking $20 million quarterback next year in free agency, then I guarantee you he can fix some of the problems Eli Manning, you know, has had the last couple of years. You know, unsteady feet, taking all those sacks. It's not all Eli Manning's fault, but the silver lining to Shurmur, maybe he's the guy that can help Manning, you know, get back on the right track.
Yep,
and the last one, speaking of quarterback coaches and offensive coordinators, Frank Reich going from Philadelphia's offensive coordinator to Indianapolis's head coach, Josh McDaniel, Spurs, the Colts, Frank Reich coming in. I actually don't hate this hire. They probably got one of the steals of the hiring season, so to speak. You know, if they would have wanted Reich earlier in the process, he was in the Super Bowl. They couldn't talk to him. With Josh McDaniel spurring them, nobody else was on Reich. I think they might have got a steal here, especially when you look at what he did with Carson Wentz and all those different playmakers with Philly.
Yeah, definitely. Talk about turning a rebounding a disaster into a solid hire. I'm a big fan of Reich. What he did with Foles, I think that he's going to be a perfect match with Luck. They have some issues. They don't have a solid running back. But you got Frank Gore is probably he's a unrestricted free agent, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he's also 35 years old.
that too, but he's ageless. And then you got to see what the wide receivers are going to do. They're tight ends. You got Fleener, and you got a wide receiver. You got T.Y. Hilton. Is Moncrief going to stay in Indianapolis? I think
Fleener,
that if
Fleener's
Luck
not there.
Shows some,
Fleener's not there anymore.
Fleener's not there.
It's Doyle.
Jack Doyle. Sorry about that. And yeah, if Moncrief can stay over there, I think that's a solid unit for Luck to rebound. Hopefully,
I think
if
that
he's healthy,
if Luck is healthy, the offense could get going. Whenever you have an elite quarterback, they can elevate the fantasy football positions around them. You know, Moncrief was a touchdown maker with Andrew Luck. Without him, not so much. You know, T.Y. Hilton and Moncrief stand to benefit the most from a healthy Andrew Luck. I think Jack Doyle is like a safe, you know, Jason Witten type play week in and week out. And for dynasty formats, hey, I'll take a safe tight end each week, but I don't think he's going to blow the roof off. He's not the next Antonio Gates, you know. But yeah, for the most part, I like Frank Reich with a healthy Andrew Luck. Look, let's face it, if Andrew Luck's not back next year, I don't think you can trust anybody on the Colts offense, you know. I mean, do you really expect Jacoby Brissett to get that much better from, you know, year one to year two of starting? I don't think so.
Better, yes. Enough to make a fantasy impact on guys like T.Y. Hilton and Jack Doyle. Well, not Jack Doyle, who had a pretty solid year. But T.Y. Hilton, I would not expect much from him. And if you see no signs of improvement for Luck, that's a guy I'm looking to sell. I wouldn't say high because you're not selling high, but try and get as much value out of him as you can.
All right, and while we're talking about Indianapolis, we're going to kind of go off the rails here. But Marlon Mack, second year, going into his second year here in 2018, rookie out of, I think, USF last year. A lot of people liked him in the dynasty community as like a, you know, sleeper, maybe a hold, you know, for when Frank Gore's gone. Wait, just give me your quick thoughts, top of your head. What do you think of Marlon Mack? Is there anything there, or do you think they address running back elsewhere in the free agency or draft?
I'm not sure if he could be a solid three-down back. He's a solid receiver out of the backfield, but I just don't see three-down back capabilities out of him. But I guess if Gore's not there and they don't address the running back position in the draft, I guess he'll have a chance to prove himself.
Yeah, and what do we want in fantasy football? You know, volume
touches.
And opportunity.
Touches, that's what it's all about, right?
Yep, exactly.
Especially
all right,
at a running
more,
back.
Yeah, right, especially a running back. You can be a no-name running back and you get 20 carries a game. I guarantee they churn out something, unless you're a Giants running back. That's
right.
Knock on them. Real quick, a couple more coaching changes. And these are defensive-minded coaches that we don't necessarily love. They're new hires taking over head coaching jobs for the purposes of fantasy. But, you know, they are coming from good systems and they're bringing in good people. So let's get to the first one, Matt Patricia, heading to the Lions. He was the Pats defensive coordinator for the last six seasons, and he's never had a bad defense with the Patriots. But, you know, does Matt Stafford and Golden Tate and Marvin Jones and the whole cast, at even Eric Ebron, how are they affected by a defensive-minded coach coming in?
My mindset with a defensive-minded coach is that he's going to try and help his defense out, especially the depleted one, that is Detroit, and try and implement a running game, which Detroit has not had. I don't remember the last time Detroit had a solid running game.
All right, yeah. Can Abdullah be that guy?
I think he could. I really do. They got,
I mean, he showed glimpses of it. Injuries have been his issue, too.
Zach Zinners, he's possibly a free agent, I believe.
He's
unrestricted, possibly.
So if they want to keep him, they got to, you know, put a tag on him.
He's restricted. There you go. Yeah, Theo Riddick you got over there. They got some running backs. I think it's a bunch of Jags, but I don't. I think they can make it work.
For those new to the dynasty, well, fantasy football world, really, Jag is just a guy. So whenever you say he's a Jag, he's just a guy. He's nobody special. But, you know, sometimes you can squeeze production out of Jags for a couple weeks. But long term in the dynasty 5 to 10 year window, you know, they're just a guy. You can find plenty of Jags out there. Mike Vrabel going to Tennessee. He's risen quickly. Just a couple years ago, he was on Ohio State staff. He had 1 year as the Texans defensive coordinator, and now he's the head coach of the Titans. As a Mariota owner in one of my leagues, I do not like this hire. I think they needed an offensive-minded coach with a good quarterback, you know, guru guy to develop Mariota, especially after a down 2017. You know, your thoughts on Vrabel real quick.
Well, you'd like to see him get an offensive-minded head coach, but they did manage to get Matt LaFleur, who was the offensive coordinator at the LA Rams. Now, yeah, you don't really know who was pulling the strings in Los Angeles. Was it McVay? Was it LaFleur? Probably a little bit of both, but you have to like what you saw out of Los Angeles and hope that he can implement some of those things in Tennessee.
Right. Well, he's coming from a good, you know, offensive mind. He learned under McVay, which is one of the best offensive young minds in the game. And then last one, I'm not too familiar with this guy, Steve Wilks. He was the defensive coordinator in Carolina for 1 year. He's taking over the Arizona Cardinals. Bruce Arians is retiring. A lot of uncertainty there. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be there. We don't know who the wide receivers are going to be behind Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald announced this week that he was coming back. I mean, really all you have is David Johnson coming off of injury and an aging Fitzgerald and not much else around them on offense. You know, what they're going to have to address something in free agency, I feel like, plus draft for their offense.
Offense is going to have to be a main focus for him, especially with hiring Mike McCoy, former Broncos offensive coordinator. He was a complete disaster in his tenure in Denver, and if I'm a David Johnson owner, I'm kind of tempering my expectations in the first year back until they can actually get something going. That's he's a sell high guy if you want to call it that. I'm not a fan of what Arizona did in the offseason so far.
I agree. Sell the name while he's still hot. Don't sell the name, not the situation. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it was a wrist injury. He did not have a knee injury. It's a wrist injury. You can't use that as a. I don't like using the injury excuse for David Johnson. He had a wrist injury. The team was not competing. He could have played, but they chose not to.
All right, they were looking long term with him. Let's move on from coaches. This is just kind of a catch up. What you may have missed the last couple weeks. In the start of the offseason, you know, into the Super Bowl. Senior Bowl. We won't spend a lot of time on the Senior Bowl. The average guy does not care about the Senior Bowl. They start paying attention when the combine hits. But I think it's important to just mention, you know, some winners and losers from the Senior Bowl, which rookies may have, you know, elevated their stock in the rookie drafts and which ones may have fallen. And then real quick, let's just, since we've kind of started this whole podcast with how to start a dynasty, when you're evaluating rookies, it's important to remember, you know, if you're in year two or beyond of your dynasty league, these rookies are all you're going to be drafting. In a startup, you don't want to look at these combine numbers and these Pro Bowl numbers, these Senior Bowl numbers, and think, oh my God, I got to have this guy number one overall. He's the next great thing. When Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson and Todd Gurley are on the board in a startup. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. These are guys that are flyer guys at the end of a startup. The reason we're bringing this up because the majority of our audience is probably not going to do a startup. They're preparing for rookie drafts that are going
to
be happening.
But the rookie, when we talk about rookies rising and falling, we're catering to the guys who have been playing Dynasty for more than 1 year, and they're doing a rookie draft in the fall. A lot of guys do it in June, July, August, but you know what I mean. So let's get to the Senior Bowl.
Right.
Obviously, it's not all about the game, of the actual game and the stats. It's more about the week of the practice, how they do with the coaches, you know, are they coachable, how they interview, yada, yada, yada. But I just think from everything I absorbed for Senior Bowl week, there's three guys that rose in my mind and two guys that fell on my personal board. I'll throw them out there. I'll get your opinion on a couple of them. Homer alert, we are from the New Orleans area, so DJ Chark has always been on our radar, but this guy lit it up in the Pro Bowl game. I think he had 67 yards, but not only that, he had glowing reviews coming out of the practices. I mean, what do you think about DJ Chark? He has game-breaking speed. You know, how does he come in with the rookies, wide receivers this year? What do you think of him as a long-term dynasty asset?
DJ Chark, underrated out of high school. He's going to be underrated out of college. He was severely handcuffed and handicapped by Danny Etling at LSU, which notoriously underproduces at wide receivers. You got guys like Odell Beckham coming out, Jarvis Landry coming out. DJ Chark, for example, I think I see him more as a, I don't know, a lower, an off-brand Tyreek Hill without the off-field issues. I think he can thrive as a vertical threat. Field stretcher has to go to the right situation. Otherwise, probably looking at a late second rounder, early third rounder, depending on where he goes.
Yeah, I think he can be a game-breaking. I mean, he could be like a DeSean Jackson light, you know. Go deep, we'll throw it up to you. But situation with a lot of these guys, when he can't do everything that some of these other wide receivers can do, where he lands in the NFL draft means a lot. Like if he goes, if Moncrief is gone from the Colts and DJ Chark ends up as the number two wide receiver in Indianapolis with a healthy Andrew Luck, watch out, you know. T.Y. and DJ Chark tearing up those secondaries, you know, that's a good situation. If he goes to Cleveland and he's behind Josh Gordon and Corey Coleman with a DeShone Kizer because they somehow botched the quarterback situation again, that's obviously not a good situation. So we're talking about intangibles and Senior Bowls, but you know, the draft in about a month or a month and a half will also ultimately determine how high and how low you're going to take them, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And there are very few guys in this draft, offensive players I'm talking, that are situation proof, especially at wide receiver. I think this is a very weak wide receiver class. Running back, very deep, maybe even deeper than last year, believe it or not. I think there are only two to three, maybe four guys that are situation proof. Barkley,
yeah.
Geis. I would say Chubb is situation proof. And yeah,
the tackles, right?
Yeah, and I'm a huge fan of Ronald Jones. Big fan of Ronald Jones. I think he's situation proof.
I think running back is easier to jump into any situation. You know, if you can hit the hole and go, you know, and run fast, running backs are easier to get into any kind of offense. Wide receivers, if you're a West Coast spread wide receiver and you're putting into, you know, a power eye offense with a bunch of play action and run blocking, and you're not used to doing that, it takes a while to come along. So let's move on to the next riser from the Senior Bowl. Another wide receiver, James Washington. I like this guy. Oklahoma State, he won the Biletnikoff Award, I believe, last year. I mean, this guy, he's just a fun football player to watch. And when I am investing, you know, a dynasty draft pick for the next 5 years, 5 to 10 years in a player, I want a guy who wants to compete and wants the ball.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you there. He's a very, very fluid route runner. Not what you would typically see out of a Big 12 wide receiver. You got schools like Texas Tech, Texas A&M that don't teach the right route tree. They tell these guys to run specific routes, get open, very quick, no huddle, short passing. I think this guy is built for the NFL. He's very quick. Not gonna blow the roof off, but kind of reminds me of a similar of an Antonio Brown. He has the touchdown production in college. His sophomore year, he put up 10 touchdowns. Junior year, put up 10. And his senior year, he put up 13, all eclipsing 1,000 yards.
I agree. And it doesn't hurt when you have Mason Rudolph throwing you the ball. I think he's going to be a nice steal for someone in the dynasty draft that wants to stash a quarterback for the future. They had a pretty good offense in Oklahoma State. And then my last riser here, Rashad Penny, running back out of San Diego State University. He lit up the Senior Bowl game. He showed that he can catch and run, you know, run between the tackles and catch the ball. He's a game breaker. This guy is, you know, he can take the top off of defense in the passing game. He can blow by linebackers and defensive linemen in the running game. I think that if you just face value right now before he's drafted, I think he moves up from like, you know, a late first rounder, early second rounder, maybe now to the top eight, top 10 range. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think he's in that, definitely in that that area of late first, early second. I haven't done a lot of research on Penny, to be honest with you. Out of San Diego State, Donald Pumphrey was there from last year. I guess we'll see if he can have a better impact in his first year. Hopefully, he can sustain from having the injuries that Pumphrey had and behind the massive amounts of talent at running back that Philadelphia had last year.
Yeah, I agree. Well, it's interesting. The San Diego State pumps out two, you know, running backs that the dynasty community loves. Pumphrey didn't do anything. He was injured, obviously. We'll see if Penny can have a better rookie year. You know, and it's not all about rookie gratification, but at running back, you feel like you could get immediate results as a rookie running back. You know, if you're drafting a tight end or a quarterback or wide receiver, you might have to wait to year two or three for them to fully come into their own, you know, a late bloomer. But running back, you're expecting, you know, results right away. So if you're drafting Penny, you at pick number 8 or 9, you want immediate RB2 returns at least, you know, in 2018.
Yep, you definitely want to get a return if you're going to spend a top 10 pick on him. If not, then what was the point of even having that guy? Because I'm of the belief that sometimes having a top 6 to 10 pick, it's more viable to use that as a trade piece, a package deal, than sometimes grabbing these guys. You're not going to get the Kareem Hunts every year, who fell probably to around pick 7, pick 8 in last year's rookie drafts.
Well, depending on when you drafted, if Ware was still there, you probably got him at, you know, 11 or 12 or later, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But I know what you mean. And to be honest with you, after the top 3 or 4 picks in most rookie drafts, everything's a let me start with it. Everything is a crapshoot from pick 1 to 100. But after the top 3, you know, it's literally it's guesswork by then. So yeah, I agree. If you have pick 8 and you're not in love with Penny or a guy like that that's sitting there, yeah, you try to trade him for a known commodity in the NFL. If a guy has, Jay Ajayi, and he's not in love with him, and he wants Rashad Penny, and he's crazy enough to do that, well, yeah, you take the known commodity. Ajayi may not be blowing it up, but he may be better than a rookie Penny that we have no idea what's going to do, you know, on a questionable team, you know? So
yeah,
you got
to
keep that in mind. It is about dynasty football, fantasy football is about stashing young players, but it's also important to keep in mind that you're also trying to win games, and you can't win anything if you have, you know, 20 rookies on your roster, half of them aren't even playing, you know? So something to keep in mind when you're looking at your rookie draft in the offseason. Couple of fallers real quick. We'll get to them from the Senior Bowl week of practice and the game. Josh Allen, quarterback. Now, I'm a Baker Mayfield fan myself. I have him ranked Mayfield, Darnold, Rosen, and then Allen, believe it or not. I love Allen's arm strength, and I love his mobility. I love his playmaking. You know, people are calling him the next Carson Wentz, the next Big Ben. I get all that. But what I saw at the Senior Bowl practice, he was throwing every ball high. Accuracy was an issue. And if you read the reports, look at the scouting stuff, accuracy seems to be the issue. And to be honest with you, you know, you could have a cannon of an arm. Jamarcus Russell had a cannon of an arm. Guess what? He wasn't accurate. He couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. So when I'm looking at a dynasty quarterback, you only plan on having one or two on your roster. You can't miss on a first round, you know, pick like Josh Allen, maybe a second round in your rookie draft. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with what you're saying there. Not really too keen on the quarterbacks at this point. I'm not in the market of picking one myself at this point. But, yeah, Josh Allen did have a pretty underwhelming Senior Bowl week and game. Definitely not like the other guys that you'd hope to have.
Well, and I just think it's harder to fix accuracy issues than it is to fix – like if a guy has bad footwork – or, you know, his cadences are off.
Right, that's coachable.
That's fixable. You can coach that. But if a guy can't place the ball accurately like a Drew Brees or an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady, you know, it's hard to coach accuracy. That's a natural, you know, you got to have it kind of trait.
Similar to speed for a wide receiver. Yeah, you can't coach speed. Exactly.
Right, you can't coach speed. Exactly. So, and my last faller, and we'll get into all these in later episodes of the podcast, but Mike Gesicki, tight end out of Penn State. If you watch this guy last year at Penn State, he was a game breaker. He was fun to watch. He kind of reminds you of like a Jimmy Graham, you know, just bigger, leaner, taller. But he only had 3 catches for 39 yards in the Senior Bowl game. Now, I know the game doesn't matter, like we said, but he didn't look that great. And in practice, you know, it's kind of a weak dynasty tight end class this year. I mean, there's 3 or 4 guys that I could see a lot of potential. It's a weak class, and for Gesicki, who's one of the guys that you like most everybody knows, I feel like he didn't do enough to separate himself and make himself the clear-cut number one tight end this offseason, just from the Senior Bowl. He may test well at the combine, but I don't think he did enough to separate himself from the rest of the class.
Yeah, I'll let you finish that off. I really have no thoughts on Gesicki.
Do you not like him as a player, or are you just not familiar with him enough yet because we're still pretty early on in the process?
I'm not going to spout off any information on a guy I have not done any research on.
Okay. All right. Well, let me say this. Coming into Senior Bowl week, I thought Gesicki was probably the most polished tight end from a fantasy playmaker ability. Now I'm not sold on him. There's a guy named Go Dirt. I have to figure out how to say his name. And there's a couple small school tight ends that are starting to, like, you know, press Gesicki for that number one spot. So we'll save that for a later podcast. We'll obviously hit in on more rankings at each position as we go on through these episodes. But all right, Senior Bowl's done. Let's talk about upcoming free agency. There's a lot of fantasy impact. There's going to be a lot of fantasy impact from this year's unrestricted free agent class, and probably some restricted free agents. But let's just touch on a couple. Where do you want to start here, Jacob?
All right, let's go with unrestricted free agents. Let's touch up on Cousins. Cousins. DeMarcus. Yeah, well, I'm still a little bitter about what happened to him. He's still in the heart. Sorry, DeMarcus Cousins. Get better soon, my friend.
Yeah. R.I.P. Anyway, or Achilles.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. So Cousins, if he can end up in a place like Denver, ideally, I think that'd be a great landing spot for him. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas. It looks like they're already starting the process of clearing some cap space if they can get rid of C.J. Anderson. Hey, maybe that could possibly set up Devontae Booker for the lead role at the running back position. What do you think about Cousins?
Well, I like Cousins a lot. I think he's a gamer. And like I said earlier, I want guys who want to win. I want guys who want to play. I don't want guys who just want to get that big contract and, you know, fall off the face of the earth. Cousins is 30 years old. For the sake of dynasty fantasy football, that's plenty of time left in the tank. You might get another 7 great years out of him,
yep,
you know, if he goes to the right situation. Denver is not my preferred landing spot for him, and I'll tell you why. A, they might have to clear cap space by cutting Emmanuel Sanders. B, they have a lot of unknown commodities at tight end. And C, Demaryius Thomas, I mean, he's kind of fallen off a bit. You can blame the bad quarterbacks, but he hasn't shown me that want to be great since he's gotten paid a couple years ago. So I could see Cousins being successful in Denver, but that's not my number one spot. Let me throw this at you. Curveball. I'm sure I'm not the first guy to say this. Cleveland,
oh,
I know we all say they can never get it right, and they're probably going to pay the dude $30 million a year, okay, because it's Cleveland. But think about the weapons he has in Cleveland. Think about the potential running back they could add in the first round. I mean, if you start looking at Njoku, Gordon, Coleman, you know what I mean? Barkley in that backfield with Duke Johnson coming
Duke
out of that backfield as well.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
I mean, I could see that being a pretty potent offense with Cousins at the helm. What do you think?
You had to get your Josh Gordon plug, didn't you?
Well, you know, I'm a Josh Gordon truther. I love Josh Gordon more than Josh Gordon loves the synthetics. So
now, my personal thoughts are not to plug our league, but I am a proud owner of the first overall rookie pick. Probably going to go Barkley. If Cousins does go to Cleveland, I will be very pleased with that. Personally,
right.
And I not just personally, but also as an NFL fan, I think that it would be a great fit. Hugh Jackson couldn't screw that up, right?
Well, yes, he can, because it's Hugh Jackson. And here's what you don't want to see if you're a Cleveland Browns fan. Here's what you don't want to see. You don't want to see them sign A.J. McCarron as a free agent because Hugh Jackson loves his guys, and then he's a bum. You don't want to see him ruin DeShone Kizer, which they might have already done that. And then you don't want to see him take a quarterback at number one or number four in this draft and ruin him as well, because you're Cleveland and that's what you do. You ruin quarterbacks. Take the 30-year-old quarterback who has started 3 seasons in the NFL, who's won in the NFC East with all the primetime lights on his face. Take him, pay him what he wants, and you have a winning quarterback. But you know it's the Browns. They're probably going to screw this up. Let's move on from them. Look, all 3 Vikings QBs, Keenum, Bradford, and Bridgewater are unrestricted free agent. Keenum and Bradford are 30 years old. Bridgewater's 25. Do you want to talk about any of these guys? Do you like anybody? Can these guys go anywhere and positively impact fantasy football position players?
I really believe that Bridgewater is going to stay, even if he's not promised a starting role right off the bat. I think he's going to give Minnesota the hometown discount. I think they've been very fair to him. He's very, very in love with the city, very in love with the fan base. Keenum. 30 years old, man.
Yeah.
God, it seems like all these quarterbacks. I remember watching Keenum tortured up at Houston throwing 10 touchdowns in a football game. Goodness.
Yeah, he's 30 years old now, right.
Bradford.
He's coming off a great year, but I don't, you know, do the Vikings. He's going to want to get paid like a great quarterback, too. That's the issue with the Vikings. You know,
yeah,
they want to give him that big money.
Yeah, and they live and die by the defense with game breakers like Thielen and Diggs and Dalvin Cook. I don't know if they're going to be able to afford what Keenum's going to request. Maybe we see Bradford. If you can get it together, it can clear some medical tests. I really don't know. I don't even think Minnesota knows what they're going to do at this point.
Yeah, me neither. And then the last names we have McCown, 39. He's probably going to go be a backup somewhere, maybe a stopgap for some team. For
or retire.
And then, or retire, right. And then A.J. McCarron, 27 years old. We already mentioned that the Browns are probably going to sign him because he's connected with Hugh Jackson. But, you know, do you see him landing anywhere? Could an A.J. McCarron be a good fit in Arizona with Larry Fitzgerald? Could he be a good fit, you know, I don't know, in Jacksonville competing with Bortles? You know, do you see McCarron making an impact anywhere or no? Do you not like the guy?
I mean, Cleveland obviously wanted to trade for him at the trade deadline last year.
Right. But it's Cleveland, so use that as a caveat, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And they obviously goofed that. There are reports of them celebrating the trade before the deadline, being late to fax in the papers, which is embarrassing.
And No one was surprised by that.
It's pretty embarrassing. No, I really don't see a place where McCarron can go to where he can make an immediate impact. Maybe in Arizona if Arians was still there. Maybe.
Right.
But it's not... I don't see A.J. McCarron making a real big deal in the free agency.
I agree. I mean, he was a game manager at Alabama. You know, it's easy to play quarterback at Alabama when you have five stars running around at literally every other position in the field. He was a backup to Andy Dalton. And if anything, Andy Dalton is the definition of a jag, okay? So if A.J. McCarron couldn't beat out Andy Dalton, the definition of a jag, king jag, then what does that make McCarron, you know? Jag Jr. I mean, is this guy really that good? Or just because he's been in the league 3 or 4 years, people think, oh my God, he's a veteran and he's been around and he's seen it all. Let's pay him the big money. I don't think so. I mean, if I'm going to pay $17, $18 million a year to a quarterback like McCarron, you know, I want to see some results over a large sample size. But in today's world, I think he's going to get paid. Who knows where he goes? Obviously, we'll have to wait and see when free agency starts. Let's hit on some running backs here. Let's kind of breeze through these. Unrestricted free agents, running backs. We have a list. I'm just going to read a couple names off. You tell me who you like the most if they land in the right spot. You ready?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. A couple of the obvious ones. Jeremy Hill, 25 years old. Isaiah Crowell, 25 years old. And Carlos Hyde, 26 years old. Obviously, all three of these had some pedigree coming out of college. Georgia, LSU, and Ohio State. You know, all pretty young. They finished up their rookie deals. They're probably going to hit the free agent market. Which one do you like the most? Where do you want to see these guys go?
I don't think you can start this list without bringing up Hyde. He's highly successful in San Francisco. Got the injury history, unfortunately, but he did have a pretty solid 2017 season. Man, Hyde, if he can end up in a spot, man, possibly Oakland. I don't know. Maybe right. the Giants.
Did you see that report that Gruden might want to keep Lynch for one more year? By the way.
Oh God! Please no.
Yeah. Right. Right. That's no, Gruden. Who the hell knows what he's gonna do?
I think the Giants would be a very solid spot for Hyde to land if they are looking to test the waters with a high cost free agent running back.
Right. Okay. You have any love for Jeremy Hill? Do you think he was just stuck in a bad situation in Cincinnati with that offensive line, or do you think he can rejuvenate his career in the back half of his 20s?
I think he's somewhere in between his rookie year and his 2017 and 16 year. I don't think he is as good as his rookie year was. He was very touchdown dependent, and he's a very touchdown dependent running back. Like I mentioned with Hyde, place like Oakland.
Right.
Giants, yeah, places like New York that. Jets. Right. They have a few spots that have running back openings.
Yeah, I think there's some sneaky spots too. Tampa Bay, you know, Doug Martin's there, but they don't really love him. You know, I think that'd be a good.
They have a million running backs in that backfield.
What's that?
They have about a million running backs in that backfield.
Right, but I mean, are any of them any good? You know, Peyton Barber and these guys. I mean, come on, who the hell are half these? We don't even know who half these guys are. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think Jeremy Hill could be a nice complement, you know, power back. Let's put him let's say Jonathan Stewart retires or the Panthers cut Jonathan Stewart. You know, would you take a Jeremy Hill as the power back complementing, you know, McCaffrey as the, you know, pass catching back? I think that'd be a nice combo for them in a run heavy offense.
As a Hill owner, I'd be very pleased with that.
Yeah, right, right. There's certain spots where these guys could go where you're ecstatic. But then if he goes sign with the Browns and they draft Barkley, you know, and you're stuck with Duke Johnson, Jeremy Hill, and Saquon Barkley. Yeah, Jeremy Hill, guess what? He's getting the short end of that stick, you know?
Yeah, I don't think that would be an ideal situation, especially. Well, and you brought up Carolina. I don't think they would spend a lot of money on a goal line running back like Jeremy Hill when they have pretty much a goal line quarterback in Cam Newton.
Yeah, true. But, you know, they kept Jonathan Stewart around all this time because he's a power back. Yeah, who knows? All right, Damian Williams, 26 years old, Miami running back. Jay Ajayi's gone, but Kenyon Drake kind of took the main show last year. You know, does Damian Williams leave? Do you think he stays? Do you like Damian Williams as a prospect at all?
Not a big fan of Damian Williams. I do think he leaves. I think Miami's going to do everything they can to clear up cap space. I honestly see C.J. Anderson ending up in Miami at this point.
Wow. So you're sticking to it that the Browns are the Broncos are actually going to cut C.J. Anderson, huh?
Yes.
All right, I like that. I wouldn't hate him in Miami. All right, and then I'm going to throw this at you, a little curveball here. There are two Patriots running backs that are going to be free agents this year, unrestricted free agents. Deion Lewis, 27, and Rex, Sexy Rexy Burkhead, 28 years old. Out of those two, who do you like the most, and what do you think about their potential landing spots, if you have any thoughts about them at all?
I think Burkhead's the better football player. I think Deion Lewis is the better playmaker. It honestly depends on where they go. It really does.
Right.
Deion Lewis, in an ideal world with all things equal, I would take Deion Lewis in a situation maybe going to, I don't know, let's say a Seattle. If they cut some of their five of their running backs, if they could finally figure out what the hell they're going to do over there. He seemed to stay healthy once he got to New England, which he couldn't stay healthy when he was in Cleveland.
Right. Okay. All right. Let's breeze. Okay. The wide receivers are really interesting. There's a lot of big names here. Very big. Allen Robinson, 25 years old. He's kind of the headliner here. What are your thoughts on Robinson? Can he bounce back from the knee injury? Do you see him staying in Jacksonville? Thoughts on Robinson?
I think Jacksonville's going to do everything they can to keep at least one of Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee. I mean, Allen Robinson has the pedigree. He's the prototypical number one wide receiver. I mean, 2015, he was full-point PPR. He was wide receiver 6. 2016, right. He was very touchdown-dependent in 2015. With Bortles' struggles in 2016, he dropped down to wide receiver 25. And then, obviously, everybody knows what happened in the first game in 2017. Allen Robinson, man, there's some destinations I'd like to end up see him go. If Denver grab Cousins and they do release one of Demaryius Thomas or Emmanuel Sanders, I'd like to see him in Denver paired with them. Or my top position is San Francisco, putting him with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Did you mention the Cowboys? I may have drifted off there.
I didn't bring up the Cowboys. No.
Would you like to see him in with the Cowboys? I think that'd be a good fit, especially if they cut Bryant.
I think they're a run first team that sets up the pass. I don't think that's ideal for the kind of wide receiver that Robinson is. I think he's very dependent on touchdowns and very dependent on catches. I don't think he's going to grab that many yards.
Okay. Makes sense. All right, Mark, you mentioned Marquise Lee. I mean, I doubt the Jaguars are going to keep both of these guys.
No,
they can't afford them. If you had to flip, you know, take one now, which one stays in Jacksonville, Robinson or Marquise Lee?
If they go the route of trying to go after a quarterback in the free agency, probably Lee. He's going to command less money.
You're saying Lee stays in Jacksonville?
Yeah, he commands less money, and they have a better shot at grabbing a quarterback off of free agency.
Yeah,
if they're not in love with Bortles, if they're not in love with Bortles.
Any interest in John or Jerron Brown, both 28 from Arizona? You want to talk about them at all or no?
No, just two Jags.
They're gadget players, yeah. Jordan Matthews, 26. A lot of potential when he came out. He's kind of faded fast now in Buffalo. Well, he's an unrestricted free agent, but yeah, let's not get too excited about him.
Love to see Jordan Matthews end up in a situation like New Orleans. For a team that needs a slot wide receiver and a team that needs a tight end, I think he can cover both of those needs. He's a big-bodied guy that can play over the middle. I think he can be a very, very nice piece to the Saints offense.
Yeah, I wouldn't hate that either. I mean, the only concern you have from a fantasy football standpoint is that Bree spreads the ball around so much. But, you know, hey, if he's catching, you know, 8-9 touchdowns in a season, you probably have a pretty good fantasy value that year. One guy I want to talk about here, next one on my list, Bryce Butler, 28 years old, okay? He was with the Cowboys. Cowboys never really used more than one, maybe two wide receivers. He was basically third or fourth string behind Terrence Williams and, you know, Cole Beasley and those guys. And
Bryant,
but
yeah.
This guy has game-breaking speed. He has game-breaking playmaking ability. He's only 28, which is a little old for Dynasty. But if you're a Bryce Butler owner in Dynasty Fantasy Football, how are you feeling this offseason with him as an undrafted free agent? You know,
I mean, it just depends on the situation. I don't think he's a guy that'll make major noise. I think he is what he is. I think he's a guy that can complement another wide receiver, and depending on where he ends up, if that wide receiver can command enough attention, I think he could possibly be a flex play at best. But that's pretty much my ceiling for him.
Right, and I agree. At 28 years old, he's not going to morph into this, you know, unstoppable wide receiver one for the next 5 years. Speaking of flex, you mentioned flex. I'll get a quick plug in here. The name of the show is Flex Appeal, Dynasty Fantasy Football Show. You can follow us at Twitter, at Flex Appeal Show. And if you do like our podcast, our you know, premiere podcast here, our first ever episode, give us 5 stars on the ratings. Leave us a nice comment. We'd appreciate it. And I'll tell you what we'll do. If you leave us a very nice comment in the comment boxes here, we will mention you in our next episode. So, bam. If you ever needed any more motivation to give us some love, there it is. Real quick, a couple more wide receivers we wanted to talk about. These are interesting names. Sammy Watkins and Jarvis Landry, both 25. Obviously, Jarvis Landry has been a PPR machine. I mean, he's over 100 catches each year. You know, I mean, he catches a lot of passes. Somehow, he catches 100 passes for, like, you know, 800 yards. But, hey, he catches passes. Obviously, we're going to like Jarvis Landry more than Watkins, I think, here. But I know you're particularly high on Watkins if he lands in the right spot.
Yeah, I'll touch up on Jarvis Landry first. If he stays in Miami, I'd be very happy as a Jarvis Landry owner.
What you're going to get.
Yeah, exactly. He's going to catch your under balls. Right. He's going to get your 8 to 9 touchdowns, and he'll get 70 yards a game, probably receiving. If he ends up in a destination, say Baltimore, that's the black hole of slot wide receivers. You do not want him to end up in a situation like Baltimore. Flacco, you do not want it. Watkins, yeah, you're right. I'm a little higher on Watkins than most people. I think he has the talent. I think he has the pedigree. Last season, I was more so concerned with him staying healthy, which he did, than putting up the big numbers. Now, Robert Woods came from Buffalo. Watkins came from Buffalo. Robert Woods completely outshined him. Is Watkins more of a, you know, a decoy? If they tag him, that's a very high.
Or sign him.
That's a very high price to pay a decoy. You have to think he has some improvement and more involvement in the offense, right?
Well, and you forget, Robert Woods signed in free agency in, you know, March of last year. Sammy Watkins was traded to the Rams, what, week 2 of the preseason? You know,
Whenever.
So he was way behind the playbook with McVay. You know, if I'm convinced, if Sammy Watkins would have gotten dealt to the Rams in March, you know, same time as Robert Woods, I think he probably would have been a lot more productive. You know, so I agree with you. As a fantasy football player, selfishly, I hope he stays with the Rams. I'd like to see him develop with Goff and McVay. But you know, I mean, he has the talent. He's just got to put it all together. You know, we'll wait and see, I think.
I don't think Goff's talent translates to Watkins' talent, you know? I don't think Goff is the guy that's going to hurl it deep. It's going to stretch the field over the top. I don't think their talents complement each other. I'd much rather Watkins end up in a different situation than with Goff.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to show that much improvement. Unfortunately,
no, put him with Luck. Put him with a healthy Luck in Indianapolis. Yeah, I think any Watkins owner would take him that. By the way, speaking of Indianapolis, we mentioned Moncrief earlier. He's 25. He's an unrestricted free agent as well. So if the Colts want to keep him, they have to sign him or tag him. So Moncrief is probably on the move. I don't think he's shown them enough to warrant them bringing him back. You know. All right, last position here. There's only a couple of tight ends that are unrestricted free agents, but there are a couple of big ones. We'll start with Jimmy Graham, 31 years old. He's the oldest of the four tight ends we're going to go here. Does Jimmy Graham have enough juice left in the tank to be a premier tight end one in Dynasty Fantasy Football?
That's an easy question. That's an easy one to answer. Yes, it doesn't take much to be a premier tight end in Fantasy Football. Outside of your top three, maybe four, if you can grab a guy in the top 12, you're sitting pretty most of the weeks. It's basically a mixed bag. You really don't know what you're going to get. So if you can get a guy like Graham that's on a solid solid team with a capable quarterback, yeah, definitely go for it.
Yeah, I agree. And look, 31 is older. Obviously, I think 30 is kind of the cutoff. If you have anybody over 30, you're starting to try to trade them, move them, whatever. But, you know, he's still a playmaker. And if he ends up with, you know, touchdowns or 6 points, you know, 4 points, 6 points, whatever your format is, that's the difference maker. Any interest in Tyler Eifert, 27 years old? The guy just can't stay on the field.
No, he's had back issues, shoulder issues, neck issues. Not a big fan of him. He's a guy I'd maybe keep an eye on. End of the round. If you're in a startup, I would not be buying him right now.
No, I think you're selling him if you have him. I mean, you try to get his name out there, and you know, try to get what you can. But then again, look, if somebody's offering you a fifth rounder in your rookie draft, yeah, you just don't do that. Sit and hold him. But you know, if the guy's dumb enough to give you the eighth pick in the second round, then hell yeah, you take that. You can't trust Eifert at this point.
Definitely.
I'm going to throw a name out here. And if I were to tell you that Austin Seferian Jenkins was younger than Trey Burton, what would you say?
That I would not be shocked. I remember him coming out of a high school going to Washington, actually.
Seferian Jenkins? Yeah. He's only 25 years old. Yeah. He's the youngest of the four unrestricted free agents we have here. I think he showed flashes with the Jets. I think he was probably held back by the Jets offense. He could be a sneaky buy low this offseason. You know, if you can, hey, Austin Seferian Jenkins owner, you got three other tight ends that you're stashing. Let me buy him from you for a third rounder. I would do that. I would spend a third rounder on Austin Seferian Jenkins. He's 25, and he's probably, you know, going to increase his value as he goes on, I would believe. What do you think?
Yeah, he's one of these guys that's he's basically a wide receiver playing the tight end position, like Evan Ingram, and you got your Ricky right. Seals Jones. Yeah, if also Seferian Jenkins can end up in a position, obviously, like most guys, I think he can thrive. I think he definitely has the talent. He's always had the pedigree, even coming out of high school. If I'm not mistaken, he was a 5-star tight end out of high school.
Okay, and then this is my like sleeper darling free agent, whatever you want to call him. I mean, I'm a sucker for Trey Burton. I remember when this guy was like running wildcat plays in Florida.
The next Tebow. Yeah, right.
Well, he's been the third string tight end for the Eagles, buried on their depth chart behind Ertz and Celek. He's only 26. The guy's a game breaker. I like Burton probably the most, more than Graham, Eifert, and Austin Seferian Jenkins. Like, to be honest with you, if I were a Burton owner, I'd be very excited. And if I were not a Burton owner, I would see if I can steal him while he's still cheap. Because at this time next year, if he goes to a good team and he produces, you're not going to be able to buy Burton. You know what
Let
I mean?
Me reiterate what you just said. Buy, buy, buy. His value is going to skyrocket in the next 2 or 3 months. Get your hands on this guy right now.
This is the cheapest you're going to get him now. Once that dude signs with the Saints or somebody that needs a tight end, it's done. You're not going to be able to get him off of anybody.
Get your hands on him right now.
All right. I'm not going to spend too much time on this next list. We're going to start wrapping the show up soon. But restricted free agents, there's a couple of names that I just want to go over with you. These are guys that they could receive offers from other teams, and their current team has a chance to match that offer and keep the player. A lot of these aren't too relevant, but I want to just get to a couple of them. Any love for Cameron Meredith, 25 years old, wide receiver for the Bears?
No, I'm not a big fan, but he probably, I would be surprised if he leaves him, especially after the unfortunate start to last year.
Right. What about Willie Snead, 25 years old, restricted free agent with the Saints? It's kind of a weird case, but.
He was basically, I think it was a handshake agreement with the Saints organization last year. He signed for a very, very small deal. It was a kind of a prove it deal, and we'll give you your deal next year when we're ready to make the cap space. He got arrested for a DWI, very underperforming season in 2017. Not a big fan of Willie Snead. I think the Saints are going to address their slot issues in free agency.
Yeah,
and I don't think they're gonna keep Willie Snead.
I mean, what a fall from grace! The dude goes from like, you know, wide receiver two status a couple seasons ago, and now he's probably not even going to be signed by the Saints. God knows where he ends up.
Top 20 PPR wide receiver in 2016, man. I was at one point I thought he was going to be one of my top wide receivers.
Yeah, it's crazy. And with Breeze, you would think, okay, there's no way. But you know, the Saints did change their offense this year. They're not a
pass-happy
team. They run the ball. Yeah. Cameron Brate, tight end, restricted free agent, 27. Now, the Buccaneers have
Howard.
What's his nuts?
O.J. Howard.
O.J. Howard, right. So, obviously, man. I think he's the future at tight end for them. But, you know, Cameron Brate showed flashes. I think he suffered from Jameis Winston's bad year last year. But You like Cameron Brate at all? Obviously, landing spot dependent.
I think it was a very big head scratcher when Tampa Bay drafted O.J. Howard. I thought they had something special already in Cameron Brate, especially coming off of the 2016 season. Just like Burton, just like Austin Seferian Jenkins. I think if he can end up in a good spot, I think he will be a valuable top 12 tight end.
I agree. All right, and then one other name I saw here that kind of stood out a little bit. The youngest restricted free agent running back. I think the team might keep him, but then they might be tired of him. Rawls, the Seattle running back, 24 years old. Do you like him at all? No, you know, anywhere he goes, or are you kind of over the whole Rawls, you know, hype train from a couple years ago?
I've had enough talking about Rawls over the past two seasons. I'm over the experiment. I'm over the Seattle running back deal.
I think there's been more injuries in the Seattle's backfield the last couple seasons than they have rushing touchdowns. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and wasn't Russell Wilson their top rusher last year?
Yeah, I think so. And like every major category, it's crazy. So I'm kind of over the Rawls thing too. I mean, maybe he goes to a spot and kind of resurrects his career, but he's still 24. But you know, I'm kind of
maybe that's a guy you buy low if you can get for like a fourth round rookie pick.
Maybe it's a draft day thing. Yeah, maybe it's a draft day thing. If you're sitting in the fourth round and you don't love anybody there, you know, you start shopping around. He's one of those guys you target. I mean, I'd rather take a flyer on Rawls than a, you know, fifth round rookie that you never heard of. I mean, so I don't know. I could see it, but I don't love him. All right. Show's wrapping up soon. I just want to do one more thing with you. Do you have a sleeper picked out? I know we talked about this.
Rookie wise.
Yeah, we're gonna do like one rookie sleeper each week, each podcast. We're gonna do at the end of the show. We're gonna do our one, you know, deep sleeper. You know, however deep he may be that week. You know, that we like for our rookie thing. And obviously, each podcast we'll touch on rookies because we're gonna focus on dynasty. But at the end of these episodes, we're gonna do like one guy that you are in love with right now. You know, third week of February. You got one you want to throw at me?
Yeah, I wouldn't call him a sleeper. He's very wide known in the dynasty community at this point. But a guy named Kerryon Johnson out of Auburn. This guy was an absolute focal point of the offense. He ran all over Georgia at Auburn. Then when they got to the SEC championship game in the rematch, unfortunately, he was very banged up. And you can obviously see the discontent in the offense without him there. He's a vocal point. I think he could be a solid foundation for a team. He's a solid pass catcher. He came from a spread offense. I think he could do it in an I formation offense.
He's big enough.
He's big enough. He's a bowling ball. I think he's a bowling ball that can. I'm a big fan of him. If I can get my hands on him in a rookie draft, I'd be very happy with it.
All right, I'm gonna throw a sleeper out also at running back. I do like that pick. I think he's already rose. You know. He's going to be a middle of the first round guy, but in a couple months, he may be pushing for that, you know, top three or four spot. So I agree with you there. I'm going to throw out a little bit of a deeper sleeper. He's just starting to catch on in dynasty communities, and I apologize to people who are like, oh my God, you ruined my pick. I was going to steal you. Kalen Ballage, running back, Arizona State University. The guy has all the measurables. He's 6'3", 229, okay? He has the size. He can catch the ball. The problem is, his stats overall have been pretty underwhelming at Arizona State. He's one of those guys, if I'm in the middle to late second round, if he's still there, I'm taking him based on talent and size alone, maybe situation. I don't love his production in college, but at that point, you're taking potential, and I like him a lot. I'm sure he's catching on in dynasty communities, and obviously, this is the second week of February. I'm sure we might hate this guy in a couple weeks, you know?
No, yeah, I see it. Yeah, that great call out. I'll do more research on him. Thank you for the heads up.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome. And if it's your turn to draft and I'm right behind you, I hope you let him slide, you know, to me. all right, well, we're going to kind of wrap it up right at 59 minutes here, right up against the hour. Listen, Jacob, any last thoughts, dynasty football in general, podcast, anything you want to get in on our first show?
Yeah, I know we touched up on how to start up a dynasty league, and we touched up on the websites, the league format, how you want to set up the starting positions and stuff. I think there's some things you definitely need to iron out off the bat, because if not, these things will catch up to you. You need to have an established bylaws. You need to have established rules. You can ask on public forums, just for examples, mock-ups. You're going to run into issues that you you cannot even imagine you're going to run into. They will come up, and you will not be prepared for them. You need to get ahead of this. I think establishing a way to determine rookie draft order is very important. You got guys that want to do lotteries. You guys that want to do it on full potential points, or you know, or just straight up how a standard rookie draft would go. You do not want to have influence of tanking. You need to find a way to prevent it. But after all that, I mean, that all goes in hand with finding guys that are going to be honorable and aren't going to completely just throw out the integrity of the league. But
right, you got to have good owners, yeah, right?
The point of it being, though, just there's some things that you're going to run into. It's best to have these things prepared and answered before you you encounter them.
Right, and post them publicly on your page, your Facebook page, whatever you're using to communicate with your league in the offseason. I agree.
Yep.
If anybody's out there wants to see how we do our bylaws or you know keep our stuff organized, feel free to tweet us. We're at Flex Appeal Show. We'd be happy to answer your questions. If you're looking to start a league, you know Jacob and I run our own dynasty league. We're commissioners, co-commissioners together. We've set everything up, you know, like we're saying now. So if you have any questions, at Flex Appeal Show, feel free to tweet us, and we will be happy to help you out. I think the only thing I'd like to add, we'll touch more going forward to these podcasts. We'll talk more about rookies and how age plays a difference and, you know, this kind of stuff. The only thing else I'd like to add is don't overthink it. You know, pick good football players, stick with them, you know, trade when they're hot. You know, we're going to get you through this whole offseason, but don't overthink it. It's still fantasy football at the end of the day. That's my one, you know, word of advice for newbies that are coming in right now.
And don't go into a startup with a strategy. Do not go.
Oh, right. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll roll that over to the next. We'll roll that over to the next one. We'll start with a startup, and then we'll get right into rookies in our next podcast. We're a little bit over time here, so let's start wrapping it up. Thanks for listening to the Flex Appeal Dynasty Fantasy Football Show. I am Ethan Paul. That is Jacob Tyler on the other end of the microphone. Tweet us at Flex Appeal Show. Feel free to tell people about us. Share us. Give us 5 stars. Help us out. Get this thing launched. You guys, the first batch of listeners here, are getting in on the ground floor of our soon-to-be epic show. So on behalf of Jacob Tyler, I'm Ethan. I wanted to say thanks for listening, and we'll be back in the next couple days, maybe a week from now, and we will start diving deep into rookies and have everything you need to be a winner at Dynasty.
Yep, and we appreciate the viewership.
Oh, it's listeners, man.